Raise your hands. Right? It's funny how that when they tell you the story, it sounds real pretty. But it will, if you read the Bible, it's not that pretty. I mean, I'll get to it in a minute, but it's a lot of threats going on. How many have ever been threatened? Right? And it's a lot of fighting. It's not even blood. Heads being cut off. It's that bad. And I know that's the version that you haven't been told in the when you were a kid, right? But I'm going to tell you the adult version. Can I tell you the adult version? Yeah. All right. So I'm going to give you the adult version of this story. All right. Now, Faith and Family is a series we continue to have. This is the second part. It's a four-part series. And so the first one was not easily broken. And this one is family ties. But this is what ties us together and doesn't release us from doing what God's called us to do. And the subtitle is Breaking Family Curses. Breaking Family Curses. Amen? 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you got it, say amen. Okay, we also have it up there as well. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and continue from verse 45. The Bible says, "Then David said to the Philistines, 'You come to me with a sword and spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and take your head from you.'" There it is. I told you. "And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord God does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we come before you. We just pray that you just move by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Have your ways, not by might, not by power, but it's by your Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody says,
amen.
I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him this with all sincerity. Turn to your neighbor right now. Tell him, "You look better than the last time I saw you." And you may be seated. Amen. Let me know, serving God gets better and better and better and better. Thank you, Victoria. She did a great job. Amen. The worship team, they always do an awesome job. Amen. And giving us that where we can get into the presence of God. Amen. And I walked into the sanctuary this morning. I just felt an overwhelming feeling of the presence of God. And I felt it as we were worshiping here, and I felt it so thick. And it almost felt like God was saying, "I'm pleased with you." And I feel, you know, because I might be a little mystical, I admit. I come in and I see angels just dancing all around us, you know, doing crazy moves, you know, doing all this and dancing all around us. Sometimes I just want to dance with the angels. Is that all right?
Yes.
Is that all right to dance with the angels? Sometimes we come, if you're looking at natural, you don't see nothing. You just see a bunch of crazy people, fanatical people worshiping God. But if you look in the supernatural, you'll see us dancing with the angels. They're dancing with the angels, and we're participating in the worship. And the Bible talks about worship being that in heaven, there's going to be ongoing worship 24 hours. So if you don't like worship, then you might not want to go to heaven. Because in heaven, there's ongoing worship. So get used to it. Amen. But I just felt this overwhelming feeling of God confirmation that this is the word of God that he wants me to preach to our church here today. And I believe also is also the theme that we all need to hear, because how many know here we need better families? We also need better relationships. How many have ever had a relationship that went sour? Right? Went bad. But we don't need to continue to operate that way and live that way. Because God didn't call us to live in that kind of way. He called us to live in harmony with each other. So the Bible says they'll know us by the love that we show towards each other, right? So we need to live in a way that is above reproach. So when your boss comes after you, or when somebody comes after you crazy style, amen? How many have ever gotten, cut off by somebody and then they're cussing you out on the road? Has that only happened to me? Right? And what do? You give him the holy finger, right? He said, "Praise him." Amen. He says, "Praise him.
You lucky I'm saved.
Amen.
You lucky, bro.
Amen. But we, you know, we come to a place where, you know, like we got to operate differently now because we're believers. Amen. We're Christians. You should, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, then you need to operate different. It's not the same way. It's not business as usual. Things have changed. And the first thing that's changed in all of us that are believers is our hearts, right? Our hearts are the first conduit of true change in our lives. When your heart changes, everything changes. Your perspective changes. The way you act, the way your mannerism changes. Even the way you talk. You don't cuss as much. Hello, somebody, right? You don't talk like that no more. You act different. You walk different. You look different. You don't look so prideful now. You look so humble now. Because God is in you, working in you, so he can work through you. That's the kind of God that changes us. Amen? So here in this story, going back to our text, here David was at a point where he was calling out a giant. And back then, there was this giant that was calling out God's people. But it was the Israelites. And the Israelites were a group of people, but there were a lot of the families that were put together. They were now a group that were called the Israelites. And so they're the ones that broke through the Red Sea and the one that Moses brought out of the wilderness and then, you know, into the promise. And so now, here he is. There was an enemy against the families of God. And this big giant here, if you read the story before, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4, it talks about him being a champion. And it says, a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath. The Bible says his height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head. And he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver beam. And his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. And a shield bearing went before him. So here he described his whole armor, right? And that sounds like a lot of weight, right? So as I begin to look into it, his armor weighed about 125 pounds. Imagine, you know, how many here have done weights, right? You've done weights? Well, imagine the 125 pounds that you lift, you wear it every day. This guy was wearing 125 pounds. Matter of fact, it was said that he was 9 feet tall and 9 inches. He was like a basketball star. Amen. And so he was really, really tall, really, really wide. And his spear, which is what he used as a weapon, was about 15 pounds. So that 15 pounds, he held it. And so he was a really strong opponent. Matter of fact, I know the Bible didn't say it, but I think he was really ugly. Amen. He was a big, ugly giant. Now, David, on the other hand, he was like contrary to the giant. He looked totally different. Matter of fact, the Bible says he was a good-looking man. How many know the anointing upon you makes you look good? Right? Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I don't know. Do you have the anointing? Yeah. The anointing, that's why sometimes we get a lot of people checking us out. He says, ooh, I look good. No, it's not you. It's the anointing. Hello, somebody. Sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I've been like, you know, taking care of myself. And no, it's the anointing upon you that looks good. Well, David looked pretty good. And he was a redhead. He looked good, and he was the youngest in his family. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12 to 15, the Bible talks about him being the youngest of 8 people. Matter of fact, I won't read it for you for the sake of time, but he was the youngest of 8 people. And so as being the youngest, sometimes you get all the chores. How many here have been the youngest in their family? You're the one that cleans the toilets, right? You're the one that has the extra chores in the house. Well, David here had the extra chores. While everybody went out to war, David stayed back and took care of the sheep. And so while he was taking care of the sheep, he was... How many here had an imagination, like when you were young? Yeah. Like that went wild, yeah. Right? Cartoons became alive, right? Yeah. All of a sudden, you're here, you are fighting. You had like a little sword and you were fighting in this air, right? How many have kids, right? There's like their imaginations or go wild. Well, David was there and he was all alone with the... I'm sure he was imagining him in the battle with his brothers. And so, but he was also known, and prior to that, he was known as a man of God. He was a man that knew God. So I'm sure, you know, I'm assuming that this is probably what took place because he was a man of God. And he was in that place where he was separated, alone, and practicing his presence. And so while he was practicing his presence, he was there, and then the lion came out and the bear came out, and he slaughtered the lion and bear. So now he felt like, man, God is with me. How many of you ever felt that God is with you? David here was saying, God is with me. Man, my God is powerful. And God was preparing him for something bigger than what he was dealing with right there. You see, so he was a small guy. The Bible calls him a small stature. He was good looking, right? He was redhead. He had a redhead. But he was the least in his family. And so here he is now defying this big giant, because this giant was coming against him to destroy not only him, but his whole entire family. And so when I begin to read that, I begin to just understand that this world that we live in today, we got big, ugly giants that are coming after us all the time. And it could be in different forms and different shapes. I know one giant that I dealt with personally was the giant of anger. I had an abusive family, and I had a constant family that was fighting all the time, and they were always angry. How many know people like that, right? Constantly angry and fighting, and they constantly do that. Not only that, I mean, you might be fighting a giant that's causing you to have a spirit of poverty, and you don't feel like you deserve anything, and you have this poverty-stricken mind because you grew up in a poverty-stricken environment and family. And so you grow up settling for Jack in the Box, a McDonald's. You just settle for the least, not for the most. You settle for just the minimal, but not the maximum. You see, sometimes we grow up with this mentality that we can't break out of. And then we deal with the issues of lust, and we deal with the issue of all kinds of stuff. Not only that, we deal with other issues. I know that being in my family, I had a curse over my family, and it had to deal with alcohol. Everybody was drinking in my family, from the kids on up. And I remember sitting there underneath the table at the age of about 7 years old, grabbing the liquor right from the top of the table and having my own little private party underneath the table. And I was starting off drinking alcohol. My brothers and my brother and sisters gave me my first cigarette at the age of 6 years old. I started smoking cigarettes. I started smoking weed at the age of 9, because they were just handing it off to me like it was something fun to do. They were giving it to me as a kid. And I'm just a little kid, so I don't know better. I'm just smoking weed. I'm drinking. I'm a little tiny kid that don't understand nothing. And then they introduced me to sex later. My family introduced me to sex later. They said, this is okay to do. Just go ahead and do it. So by the time I was 12 years old, I was exposed to all kinds of stuff. My mind was already corrupted. I was perverted in my thinking. I grew into an angry family, so every time something went wrong, I shouted and screamed. Every time something happened and I got hurt, I wanted to get high and drunk. You see, there was a curse being placed upon my family. I didn't even know. I didn't know that I was going through the process of being developed to be a man that's going to be bruised, hurt, afflicted. Not only that, I'm going to afflict others in the process. You see, there was a giant that I had to deal with. And I remember growing up, and I grew up, and through the whole life, you know, doing a lot of drugs and getting into the cocaine life and dealing with drugs in the city of San Francisco and getting involved in all that. And then I find myself in a place where all I wanted to do was make money. And that's another giant, that everybody in your family is trying to make money, and everybody is about money. And so here I am dealing with several giants that are in the land. How many know we got giants in the land that is hard to conquer? I'm telling you, because it's generational. That's why you will see, listen up guys, that's why you will see that when a family member goes into prison, it almost looks like the father goes to prison, the son goes to prison, the grandchildren go to prison. Isn't it true? Then all of a sudden the addiction is passed on too. Methamphetamines is passed on to the next person. And alcohol is passed on to the next person. And if they're not dealing with that, then they're dealing with oppression and depression. That's passed on too. Then all of a sudden you're dealing with depression, and you wonder why. Because your mom has been dealing with depression. Your grandmother's been dealing with depression. You got this giant that is bigger than you, because it's been generation after generation after generation. And you're dealing with this huge, ugly looking giant. And here you are, just a small person in this world trying to figure out life. And I remember when I finally, thank God he interrupted my miserable life. Thank God. Thank God. Thank Jesus. He interrupted my miserable life. Because I was suicidal. I was so full of pride. I was so full of anger. I was addicted. I was all that. I knew that if I would have had a family before I had Jesus, I would have destroyed them. And I thank God that Jesus came in and helped me fight the giants in my life. And so that's why we go to church, because let me tell you, you got giants that are just waiting for you in your house. You know what I'm talking about, right? Some of you might even be ashamed of telling me. You got a giant right now, a perversion that's right there. Boom, soon as the TV goes on, boom, it starts to mess with you. Soon as the internet and your phone goes on, you start thinking about it. Oh, it got quiet up in here. Amen. Yeah. The giants continue to activate. That's why you'll see this. That, like, if you grow up in a family of girls, how many have a lot of girls in their family? Drama. Hello, somebody. I had a lot of drama in my house. But when somebody has a bad relationship, like the mom and dad, guess who has a bad relationship too? The girls. And when the father is not in the picture, they don't know what a good man looks like. They don't know how to be treated. When the father's not in the picture, or is the father's abusive and the father's not present, all of a sudden you grow up not knowing what a man should look like. And so you pick like anybody, because you got some drugs, you got some, but it's okay, you're cute, so that's good enough. Come over here. Yeah, you got some problems, but it's okay. It's all right. Look, you look pretty good. You got a job? Yeah, come on. You qualify. Right? And so we don't even know what a good man looks like, because fathers are not in the presence of the family. And we got these giants that we're dealing with, and I had to deal with them personally, and I'm still dealing with some of them, because the devil keeps coming at me. See, you got to know, you got to understand that the battle rages. How many know we have battles in our family? We have a lot of battles. The reason why the way you are is because maybe some of your families were really bad. How many here grew up in a bad family? See, I had struggles in my family. I had struggles in my family. And maybe that's why the way you had some bad habits of things that took place in your life, because of the things that you were introduced to that became giants in your life. Now, how do we break the curses upon our family? I'm going to give you three things. If you're writing notes, I want you to write these things down. Number one, the battle begins with words. Number one, the battle begins with words. Number two, the battle continues with intimidations. Intimidation. And number three, the battle is not against flesh and blood. All right? So I want you to write these three things down, and I'm going to get into it in just a minute. But I want you to know that there's a plan. The devil has a plan, but how many know God has a bigger plan? The devil has a plan, but God has a bigger plan. So number one, the battle begins with words. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 43, this is the big ugly giant talking, right? He talks too. And it says here, so the Philistine said to David, and he was talking to David, says, "Am I a dog that you come to me with a stick?" And it says, and the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the voice continued in verse 44. He says, and the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give you your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Now, he began this battle with words. Do you know we begin all battles with words, right? All battles begin with words. In other words, there's times that come into your life where people speak over you. They speak over negative. They speak over things that you'll never amount to anything. All your life, you might as well just settle for him, or might as well settle for her, because all your life, and maybe even I had to deal with it myself, they've told me many things over and over again that I won't do anything. Matter of fact, see, you are making a mistake again. See, I knew it. You're a liar. You begin to tell me things over and over again. The battle begins with words. There's a battle of words. That's why those that have been encouraged by words have a chance of making it. You know that you have a chance of making it when somebody says you're doing a good job. When somebody says you're doing okay, you're not that bad. You just get encouraged. You see, some of us have many voices, a lot of voices. How many here hear voices? All right, I'll pray for you guys. James, oh my God, I pray for you. You hear voices, right? Then many are talking to you. they talk to you on the way here. They talk to you at your house when you're sleeping and laying down in your bed. You hear voices. And they speak. They speak loud and clear. This is never going to work out. Matter of fact, if you serve God, I'm going to wipe out your whole family. The devil begins to lie to you. Yeah. Begin to tell you things. And he begins to shout in your ear. And see, all of a sudden, all these voices, they keep coming. And you hear the voice of the enemy nice and loud. But God's voice, you can't hear too much. God's voice was like, just like, well, I can't hear God, but I can hear the devil. You know what the Bible says? Let me give you, listen up, check this out. You know what the Bible says? Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Resist the devil. Everybody say resist.
Resist.
And he will flee.
Amen.
Yes. So the first thing we need to do is draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. Resist the devil, and he will flee. What that means is that as you continue to draw near to God, you're going to hear his voice more and more and more. As you do that, guess what God's going to do? He's going to give you instruction on how to defeat your enemy. He'll be able to tell you, look, this is how to do it. This is where not to go to. When you begin to walk into the bar, it says, I'm going to see my friends for a little bit. I'm not going to drink. I'm just going to hang out. I'm just going to sit there right there. I'm going to just sit there. And God says, nope, that's not where you belong. You don't belong in that bar no more. You don't belong in that club. Right? Everybody's going crazy. You don't belong in that thing where you just, where everybody's just, you know, you don't belong in there. And you're like, I can still get crazy, you know, without getting drunk. But all of a sudden, you know, somebody does something and says, here, come on, just one. Just one. Just one. Just one. Just one. She's being obedient. Amen. Just one. It's not going to hurt you. It's not. Okay. I don't know about you, but I know Victory Outreach people. How many here say, I'm Victory Outreach? Amen. I know Victory Hours people. Okay, guess what happens with Victory Hours people? You're an addictive people.
Yes.
Yes, you are. You're very addictive. Michael, you're addictive. Did you know that?
Yeah.
That boy goes to the gym 24/7. Amen. He's on the treadmill. When I'm working out with him, I stop working out with him because he's excessive. He's crazy. You know, he's on the treadmill and he does the 90 degree angle like this, and he's going for like 3 hours. And I'm done after 15 minutes. I said, I'm done, dude. That's good. That's good enough. That dude lost over 100 pounds just doing that. I mean, yeah, you give him a good hand. Amen. But he replaces addiction with a new addiction, which is a good addiction. Great addiction. Amen. But he's an addictive person. You have to replace. Sometimes we try to get rid of our addiction without replacing it with something else. And here you are dealing with this giant. You're dealing with this thing. You're figuring it out. Then, Victory Hours folks, we just try to get away with one beer. And then you're introduced to a kegger after that. And then you forget about the cup and you just go for the hose. That's the kind of people I know we are. We just can't. You think, I just want to be normal like my friends. They just drink a couple beers and they just go home and everything's cool. They just drink a little sip of wine. But not us. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, not you. I already know. You're going to get drunk out of your mind. You're going to get crazy. You're going to be with Scary Mary. You're going to be with all those people. You're going to be with Tweaker Tom. And then you're going to be out there doing your thing. And then you wake up in the morning and say, what happened? It only started off with one beer. But that's the kind of people we are. Can I speak the truth? Come on, somebody. Because that's what happens over time. So sometimes we're just trying to just, you know, just here's the fence. We're kind of just walking on the fence. It's like, can I just get away with just enough? Can I just get away with just enough? And he's like, forget it. I'm just going to hang out on this side. You can't play the fence and then serve God. It just doesn't work. Because we're addictive persons. We're addictive people. Tell them, I know you. Tell your neighbor, I know you. You're addictive. Yes, you are. It's funny because I'm telling you, I deal with people all the time. Like, they stop they say, I stop methamphetamines. I stop doing this. But alcohol is not that bad. It's not that bad. It's okay. I stopped doing this. I stopped doing heroin, but I could smoke cigarettes. I said, it's not that bad. And they're smoking like a chimney. And almost they almost walk around with smoke coming out of their mouth. It's like they're walking cigarette now. Because, but I'm not getting high. It's better than getting high. But okay, anyways, amen. I'm not going to go there no more. Amen. All right. If you're still smoking, say, Jesus is going to change me. It's okay. Amen. Amen. But see, the battle continues with words. And you know, and it's funny because back in the day in Victory Outreach, when they first started in New York, Pastor Sonny was a heroin addict. And they said to him and many others at that time, once a drug addict, always a drug addict. So they gave up trying to be sober because they realized that if I'm an addict, so I might as well just stay an addict. Right? But how many of you know, thank God that he defied the odds. He was that David in the middle of a giant. He was that David in the middle of a giant. And because God was on his side, he was able to defeat that giant that he was trying to come against. You see, the words are given to you that you'll never become anything or never do anything. You'll never break that habit. You'll never really change. And then you always say to yourself, and I've said to myself too, the same thing. I thought I was changed. Oh, man, I thought I changed. I'm still the same person. This Bible don't work. Right? This prayer, going to church, don't. I still do the same. I still cuss. I still drink. I still smoke. I still do. I can't stop. I can't stop. It doesn't work. And I've always told people this. Just because you go to the gym doesn't mean you're going to have muscles. Come on. Right? Just because you go once doesn't mean you're buffed. It doesn't work that way. You got to go constantly. That's why I opened up the service with, you look better than the last time I seen you. Because you've been working out spiritually. You've been getting the Holy Ghost working out. You've been getting those messages in you. You've been getting, man, you've been hearing the messages afterwards. You've been writing your notes. You've been praying. You've been seeking God. So now I'm spiritually buffed. Hello, somebody. And now I can handle problems. And I can Dutch and dog and just go, you know, watch out for the enemy. I know how to do it now because I'm fit spiritually. You don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. You see, sometimes we struggle so much. He says, why am I not? Not because you haven't been coming enough. You haven't been participating enough. You haven't been in part of the cycle of just learning and growing and changing and being part of the fellowship and being discipled and being the person that... You, see, the word is speaking over you. The world is telling you, why do you go to Victory Outreach? Why do you get so quiet? Why do you go to Victory Outreach? I thought that was for drug addicts. Oh, what? Are you a drug addict? Do you suffer with the problems like that?
I'm just using my tore up voice right now.
Why do you go to that church?
And I get that from other pastors. Oh, you're that kind of pastor. What kind of pastor is that? I get that a lot. I understand that. The voices keep speaking. Like, don't go to that church. Let me tell you about this church. Can I hear your name, man? Let me tell you about this church. It's not just for the drug addict. It is for the hurting. That's what it's about. Now, how many have ever been afflicted by drugs? Like, you haven't done drugs yourself, but your family member has done drugs? Your mom, your dad, right? Your brother, your sister? You've been afflicted by it through other family members. And you hate it with that passion because it destroyed your family. So in Victory Outreach, we teach you that, yes, there's problems in the world, but how many know we're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus? That we could destroy the works of darkness. That we can come before him with authority and the power of God. See, in Victory Outreach, we teach you how to be a warrior. Turn to your neighbor and tell him you're a warrior. We teach you how to be a fighter. We don't teach you how to be a weakling in Jesus. We teach you how to man up and woman up and how to serve God with integrity, with your heads up high and learning how to serve God. You see, in Victory Outreach, yes, I understand we're dealing with some folks that are dealing with addiction, but I'm telling you, it's not an addiction problem. It's a sin problem. That's the problem. That's the issue. If we can fix that sin problem, we can fix all the problems. The sin is the issue. It's not drugs. It's not all. It's sin. If we can get that sin and get that where God is able to teach you how to overcome that area in your life, then all the little things that I just mentioned earlier are going to be small.
You see, here, the voices David was dealing with, see, it wasn't just the voices, but it wasn't even the voices of the giant. It was the voices of his dad. His dad told him, just stay over there. I don't want you to be fighting. His brother says, when he first came up to the battle, his brother says, why are you even here? You're so arrogant. You're so prideful. He even told David that. Because you're so, why do you even try to fight? Right? Turn to your neighbor that's sleeping to tell him, wake up. There you go. Wake up. You see, you got to understand that there's going to be voices that are going to come at you that are going to be even your own personal family. And see, this is where you got to learn how to ignore those voices. How many of you ever learned to ignore people? Right? You learn. See, you got to understand there's power in words. And that's why David said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45, he says, then David said to the Philistines, you come to me with the sword and with the spear, with the javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. And this day, he says, I'm declaring, and this day will I you deliver me to my hands, and I will strike you and take your head. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air. That means I'm going to give the guts to the birds. You know, I'm going to tear your head off. I'm going to get the spear. And I'm going to proclaim that the name of Jesus, that God's name is greater than what you got. You see, David understood about words. That's what you got to speak, words over your situations. You say, no, I'm not going to listen to those words. Matter of fact, as the devil begins to speak, I'm going to speak louder. You're going to speak louder. I said, no. See, this here, he says, the Lord of hosts. You know what that means? The Lord ready in battle. You see, here he says, you represent you. Oh, but I represent God. He goes, because you represent you, you're going to fail. But because I represent God, I'm going to win. Yeah. You see, then the Lord will fight your battles. And so he said right there, boom. He says, right there, he is the Lord of hosts. This is what that means. That when you have somebody fighting for you, how many have ever been a part of a gang? Two or three people. When you have your gang, you feel all tough, right? Oh, yeah. You had, they're just like, they got your back. But if when you're by yourself, you start running, right? Yeah. You tell the truth, shame the devil. Amen. But you have your gang guys, they're right there. The gang is right there, and they have your back. You have a group of guys having your back. That's the same thing. So you got to understand, you got to open up your spiritual eyes that there's more for us than there is against us. And that there's a host of angels that are encamping around those who fear him. And so if there's a host of angels that have your back, then you can have your chest up high and says, oh, devil, you're a liar. Because I ain't listening to your lies anymore. I ain't going to listen to what you have to say about me anymore. I don't have to listen to what you know what? I'm going to tell you where you belong. And I'm going to tell you what I am. You see, you belong in hell, but I belong in heaven. You see, your destiny and your purpose in life is to kill, steal, and destroy. But my destiny and purpose in life is to please the Almighty God. I've been enlisted in the army of the Lord. I'm here to conquer. I'm here to overcome. I'm here to break the powers of the devil. That's the kind of person that we need to stand for. He says, this is the kind of person I need to be. See, David knew that he was in the army of the Lord. He was a little boy fighting a big battle. He was a little boy trying to deal with life and situations. And the intimidation came. The battle continues with intimidation. The battle continues with intimidation. And then the battle continues with on and on and on and on and on. How many know that happens sometimes where it continues and you get tired? You get tired of fighting. It's hard. Sometimes you just want to give up. It's hard. It's hard to see your family members go in and out of prison. It's hard to see your family members go into the addiction or even yourself dealing with issues, dealing with problems. It goes on and on and on and on. And here the giant was intimidating the whole family of Israel. And he was trying to intimidate David. You see, you got to realize that it was a 40-day time. You see, here they were trying to overcome that big giant, the Israelites. And he was there for 40 days. And finally, David came on the scene and believed God that he was going to conquer the giant. And so he was there battling and trying to fight, but intimidation kept coming. We have to break intimidation. Everybody say, break intimidation. The intimidation of the enemy is constant. He'll always try to get you to a place where you feel that you're weak and he's strong. You see, the problem is, like we sung earlier,
I am weak and he is strong. See, the devil always tells you, you're weak, you're weak. And yes, if you could just admit that you're weak, then you will be strong. Isn't that the opposite?
Yeah.
Sometimes we say, no, I'm strong enough to handle this. I'm strong enough, I can handle this, I can go this, I could go here, I could do this. No, you have to admit that you're weak. Yeah. And that your most vulnerable, weak moments of your life, if you invite Jesus in there, you become the strongest person ever. Because it's no longer relying on your strength, but you're relying on the strength of the Almighty God. And that's the kind of God that we serve, that he understands how weak we really are. We struggle in weakness. How many know weakness is not a place where we can say, I'm not weak and we're okay. You know, it's a place where you say, I admit I need Jesus. I need Jesus. See, in intimidation, the devil will always intimidate us and tell us what we don't have. But let me hear you. I want to give you something to say to him. This is what I want you to tell him. I know I don't have all the money in the world. I'm about to sing a song. Amen. I know I don't have all the things in the world. I know I don't have the position I always wanted. I know I might not have the wife or the husband or the car or the house or the things of the world. The enemy will always flash that in your face. What have you done with your life? You haven't done much with your life. He'll always throw things in your face that, who are you? You're a loser. You're not going to become anything. He'll intimidate you. He'll intimidate you. He'll intimidate you. And then this is what you need to tell him. I know I don't have all the things that I want, but I do have all the things I need. The Bible says, I am who I am. He is all-sufficient, all-knowing. Every need is found in him. If you're able to come to a place to say, yes, I'm weak, and yes, I struggle, I might not have all the things of the world, but as long as I got the Lord of hosts on my side, and as long as I have Jesus on my side, you will see that all those things don't even matter to me anymore. All the wants, I have Jesus, it's all I need. It's all I need. You see, sometimes we think we need a boyfriend. We need a girlfriend. We need money. We need positions. We need jobs. And guess what? All those things will leave us empty. But the only fulfilling thing in life, because let me tell you, when you go to heaven, and I pray that you do, and you go and say, okay, I've done this and I've done that. I've got a career, which is not bad. It's good. I've gotten money, which is okay. But the most important thing, what did you do for Jesus? What did you do for the Lord? That's what God's going to look at you. Yes, you did great. You had a great position. That was awesome. They gave you a promotion. That was awesome. Yes, they gave you a cup saying, I've been promoted. Hello, somebody. That was great. But in Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he's going to look at you and says, but yeah, that's fine. And that's great. But what have you done for me? That's what I'm looking at. What have you done for him? See, all those things that we've done, they can amount to anything. You see, intimidation will always come at us. But we need to tell the devil, yes, I might not have what I want, but I have what I need. Amen. And it's found in Jesus. The third thing is this. The battle is not against the flesh or flesh and blood. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38, this is, you got to understand that it wasn't a traditional battle. You see, they were in battle, they had their sword. Matter of fact, they tried to put all the armor on David. They tried to put it all, and he couldn't handle the armor, so he took it off. He took off that armor. He says, no, I can't do this. You see, this is the ironic thing. This is the crazy thing. Listen up. This is the crazy thing. You see, sometimes we're trying to fix things traditionally. We're trying to fix things. Maybe I should just take a class on it. Maybe I should just do this and do that. Traditions, maybe methods. But see, David was different. He did something different. Here, look, check this out. In chapter 17, verse 49, it says, then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone. And he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. Okay, does that make sense to you? And we read it, say, oh, it sounds nice, cool. He says, he threw a stone at a big fat giant. He must have looked stupid. Doesn't he? You big fat giant. There. He threw a stone at you. Yeah, see? Think about it. He had a stone. See, these guys were like mighty in battle. They got like big old sword, rah, He-Man type stuff, you know. They had big old shields and big muscles. And here, little dying David with red head, good looking little kid, amen. And he had like a little rock. And he had five smooth stones. And he was there. And he goes, okay, I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna throw a rock at you. Does that make sense? Right? It's like going to war. It says, I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna tell you that you're nothing. Little rock. Right? And here, David is saying, I'm gonna throw a rock. You know what it did? Check this out. Listen up. And you know how the Bible is so explicit? It's so detail-oriented. It's so like, so everything's always detailed, right? It said, it hit, boom, forehead. And it sunk into his head. Right? So what did it stop? See, what is your voice doing? It's responding to your, boom. It stopped him from talking. He shut the mouth of the giant. The first thing he did is, I'm going to shut you up. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah, boy. Went down. Went right into the head. It stopped the mouth of the giant. And then from there, he didn't stop there. You see, that's sometimes we stop right there. You see, you got to realize sometimes we just stop. Oh, yeah, I got him. Yeah, woohoo. I got him. Yeah, look at him. She's down now. Woohoo. Yeah. More than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I love somebody. Yeah, all right. I'm good. He didn't stop there. I love what he did. Because then, see, he didn't use the traditional way. He used the supernatural way. See, sometimes we're trying to use methods that are from the world. Like, of these methods that we need to use that need to kill these giants in our families and life, it's supernatural. You see, he supernaturally slung that thing. It was the Holy Spirit that, bam, that used that rock and smashed him in his mind to stop his vocal cords from talking anymore. And then then he says, okay, this is what happens to us. Then he got a sword. He says, now I'm not done yet. He says, I've knocked you down, but I'm going to cut off your head. And he goes, wah! And not only that, I'm going to show everybody that I cut off the giant's head. I'm going to show it. Do you imagine how ugly that was? Do you imagine all the blood coming out of his head? Then the guts coming out. See, this is not a story that they tell you in children's church. Amen. Bam, they got it. Check this out. I killed the head of a giant. Man, and he's there ramping around. And the Bible says that he was running around Israel showing everybody, look what I did. I killed the giant. Yeah. And so he was just proclaiming that he killed the giant. You see right here, this is the problem. This is why we don't kill our giants. Because we think just one day of service fixes everything. Sometimes we think one scripture changes everything. You think one prayer changes everything? You think just one time of just getting a hold of God changes everything? You see, David just didn't just knock them down, but he cut his head off. You know what that means? That means if you're dealing with pornography, get the TV out. That means you cut that thing off. That means if you're dealing with the opposite sex and you fall short every time a guy comes your way, get that phone of yours and delete all those numbers that constantly call you. Get off Facebook and social media. Cut the head off. See, not only have I been delivered, oh, come on, somebody. Not only have I been delivered, but I have been set free and I've been made whole. And that's why I could say without a shadow of a doubt that I've been set free. Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. And I preach to myself right now. Amen. You see, you got to realize that at the end of it all, if you don't cut off the head, it's going to come back alive. You think you just knocked it out because you went to church. The devil doesn't care if you go to church. Matter of fact, the devil comes to church more than you do. He's in the front row every time. Because who can I distract from hearing the word? Who can I mess with right now? Who can I deal with right now? He comes here faithfully. Oh, but see, we need to come here knowing that not only am I going to knock him out, I'm going to kill him. kill him, destroy him, cut off his head. I'm going to just say, no more, devil. I'm not going to give you an option. I'm going to cut these people that constantly call me to go get drunk. I'm going to call it. I'm going to get rid of these people off social media that constantly tag me on stuff I don't even want to see anymore. You see, you got to realize, unless you cut off the head, you're always going to go back to the giant. You're always going to go back to that in your life. And that's why we're always at a place that you're like, you're struggling. You're always saying, okay, why do I keep dealing with this giant? Maybe you haven't cut off the head. Maybe you haven't sliced his head off. Maybe you haven't gotten rid of that thing completely. Completely. I mean, I could even give you this. See, sometimes there's triggers. All right, for those that understand triggers. Triggers. It could be anything. It could be anything. Some things trigger things. Sometimes jumping in your car could be a trigger. The freedom of going in your car and going to anywhere you want to go to. You don't understand what I'm saying, I guess. You get your keys, get in the car, and all of a sudden all the memories of being out there come to pass. I remember going to the beach with my girlfriend. I'm like, oh, it's this way. I'm like, damn, my car. I remember playing those oldies, having a Budweiser. It was a hot day today. Ooh, come on, somebody. And then you're just cruising on the boulevard. No, I don't know. We don't do that no more, but we're just cruising. And you're there, and it triggers you. You know what? Stop driving.
Come on.
Catch the bus. Is that extreme?
Yeah.
Cut off his head.
Yeah.
Cut. Stay away from those things that trigger you. That's what I'm letting you know. So, see, you're not normal. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, you're not normal.
You're not normal.
You're not normal. Come on, turn to the person behind you, tell him, you're not normal. You're not normal. You're not normal. You can't do the same things that your friends do. You can't do the same things your friends do. They could jump in the car to go to work. You jump in the car to go to the club. Right? You jump in the car to go to the connection. And they go to the car to go to the store. Right? Even a car could be a trigger. Cut off the head. Get rid of that thing. Whatever it is. If it's a phone, come on, go back to the Stone Ages and get a flip phone, somebody. Come on. You know, if it's a computer, tell somebody else to go to Google for you. You just cut that thing off. You see, sometimes we're dealing with generational curses because we keep entertaining them. We keep entertaining them. You're thinking we're okay, and you're declaring that you're okay, but you're not okay. You need Jesus, and you need to cut off his head. You need to slice it up. You need to get that. You need to and begin to proclaim that you're free. You ain't normal. You ain't like everybody else. And sometimes we try to be like, can I just be with like Tom? Can I be like Mary? Can I be with that? You're not. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to bust your bubble. You're not. You can't be like them. We're different. We're peculiar. We're different. That's why the Bible calls us peculiar, different people. But we're a people that weren't a people, but now becoming a people of God. That means we weren't a people before. Nobody even knew our names before. But guess what? Jesus knows our name now. And he says, yes, my son, my daughter, I am well pleased with you. Now it's time to rise up and teach other people how to get rid of that thing. See, that's where we need to get to, that place. See, David knew, he understood. He understood that this is what needed to happen. Yes, he intimidated. Yes, he spoke. But it's time to cut the head off the devil. It is not against flesh and blood. It's spiritual. That's why he got that stone and he says, this is a promise. You see, you got to realize that David wasn't dumb. We think David was dumb. Right? If you read the story, you think David, I'm sure. I'm watching David. Like, come over here. I'm picking on Henry. Amen. You have a little stone. And I'm looking at you. You're about to throw a stone at a big giant. And I'm talking to everybody. This guy's stupid. This guy's an idiot. He's not my brother. He's not my family either. Oh, no. I don't know this guy. But see, that's what people say to us when we come to church.
That's right.
He goes, oh, look at this. They're just stupid. Why do you believe in that religion? You see, it's not a religious relationship. See, that's where we got it all wrong. You see, we're teaching you how to have a stronger relationship with Jesus so you can overcome the giants in your life. And here he is. You got that stone and throw it. Go ahead. Sit down. Amen. I just want to give you a visual of what people look at us sometimes. They look at us dumb. They look at us stupid. You see, see, David knew the stone was small. David knew that the giant was big. You know what it was? Let me tell you what it was. It was promise. He knew the word of God, that God is faithful. And that's why he quoted, "It is the Lord of hosts. It's him that's going to overcome this." You see, I'm throwing a rock. It just represents a promise. That's all it is. And that's where you quote scripture. He says, "I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus." You're throwing a rock at the devil. Boom. You're throwing a rock at him. You're doing that because you're saying, "This is my promise. I know that, God, you called me for greater than this. I am more than this. I am more than just this. God has called me." Because if you don't believe God's promises, then you'll struggle with the part in your life where you lose out on the anchor that's going to hold you down when problems come your way. You have to understand that this is a part where